I'll go ahead and introduce our next speaker. It's Dr. Brian Ho. He is the James and Bridget Marino Family Professor in Cerebrovascular and Endovascular Neurosurgery, the Associate Chair of Neurosurgery, and the Chief of the Division of Cerebrovascular Surgery, as well as the Vice Chair of the Department of Neurosurgery here at UF.
Thanks. So I'm going to talk about acute stroke intervention, and this is a really exciting time in the era of treating stroke because we now have great tools and great ways to treat our acute stroke patients. So many of you know this. Every year, about 800,000 people in the U.S. have a stroke, and stroke is the fifth leading cause of death and the number one cause of disability in the U.S. That means, on average, every 40 seconds, someone in the U.S. has a stroke. One of every 18 deaths in the U.S. is from a stroke, and about one out of four survivors are permanently disabled. This is a map from the CDC demonstrating the density of stroke in the United States, and you can see North Central Florida, right here where Gainesville is a very dense area, right in the stroke belt in the United States. But not only is stroke costly to our patients, but it costs our U.S. healthcare system. It's estimated that stroke will cost our U.S. healthcare system nearly $125 billion a year. That's not just in the cost to the hospitals, but also in nursing homes and loss of productivity for patients that are disabled from stroke. Well, many of you know the first-line treatment for acute ischemic stroke is IV tPA, and that's based on the original NINDS trial, which randomized patients to either IV tPA or placebo drug for patients that presented within 3 hours of stroke onset. And what this study showed was that even though there was intracerebral hemorrhage in the patients that received IV tPA, if you looked at the overall disability rate, the patients that received IV tPA were 30% more likely to be independent or have a good recovery, be able to return to functional independence at 3 months. And so since then, IV tPA has become our first-line treatment. The problem with IV tPA, though, is that it has a very strict inclusion and exclusion criteria. And what that means is many of our patients are unable to receive IV tPA. And I won't go through the whole list here, but you can imagine the inclusion criteria includes a very strict time window, and the exclusion criteria includes all kinds of reasons why patients might not be able to receive IV tPA. And so a national U.S. estimate reported that probably about 1% to 2% of stroke patients receive IV tPA. So what that means is if there's 30,000 ischemic strokes a month, only about 500 receive IV tPA. The rest of the 29,500 do not receive IV tPA. And why do they not receive IV tPA? Well, we can look at the original NINDS trial to look at disqualifying reasons. Why were patients excluded from the trial? Well, nearly half of them presented too late. So remember, in that trial, you had to present within 3 hours of your stroke occurring, and nearly 50% of patients present to the hospital 3 or more hours after their stroke. There are a number of other reasons that are listed here. Fortunately, that time window has been extended. There are a number of randomized clinical trials in Europe that showed that IV tPA is safe and effective up to 4.5 hours. So we're now using 4.5 hours as the time window, not just 3 hours. However, even then, only about 8% of ischemic stroke patients are eligible for tPA because of the narrow time window. There is a risk of hemorrhage from IV tPA. And the bigger problem is that it only achieves early reperfusion in a small percentage of patients with large vessel occlusion. I'll talk a little bit more about that, but that's the disease that we're most concerned with. Large vessel occlusion is the strokes that cause the most disability and the most mortality.